Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Praise God. Thank you for being here. Let's turn to the Word of the Lord. I have something very special and very real and tangible in my spirit that I want to share with you tonight. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, the he being Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily, perhaps, is that word there, not happily, but haply, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the times of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. You may be seated. Unseasonable faith. Unseasonable faith. The real question that we ask ourselves tonight is the crowd small enough for God to do his greatest? It's amazing that when God got ready to do something great, he always reduced the crowd. Every time. Always. When he got ready to tear down the walls of Jericho, he went from 32,000 to keep reducing that crowd until it was 300. Jesus had thousands of people follow him, but when he got ready for the advent of Pentecost, he had diminished those thousands down to 120. When Jesus got ready to resurrect Jairus' daughter, he reduced it down to 3 disciples. 9 of the disciples he wouldn't even let come. Jesus talked about that when they asked him about his ministry. He said, why do you speak in parables? Because some people say they don't comprehend. And he said, oh, that's not a problem. That's by design. He said, I speak in parables so they will not understand. Not only did he diminish the crowd numerically, he diminished the people that could perceive. He said, I speak so they will not understand what I'm saying. And yet he would say again, don't cast your pearls before swine. Jesus said, this is not for everybody. It's for those that are hunger and thirst. It's for the perceptive. So what I'm going to share with you tonight, Jesus never taught to the multitudes. This was an object lesson that he shared only with his disciples. And then his disciples recorded that those of us that care might reach out and receive. But I can tell you that most people never even aspire to it, and even a number acquire what I'm going to talk about tonight. But if there was just one person that could get a hold of what I'm sharing with you tonight, it would be a home run night in the kingdom of God. The key to this, the two keys to this story, you know, the story is pretty self-explanatory. Jesus is walking along. He sees a tree, and he's hungry. And he says, I think I'll just go over there and see if perhaps there's figs on that tree. He gets over there, and of course there's not. The key to that is found in verse 13. He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. There wasn't supposed to be any figs on that tree. It was not the right season to have figs. And the second key to this is verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. This was not because Jesus was hungry. It's been said that perhaps Jesus was perhaps a little irritable. It's the reason why we need to be kind to people that are wait staff at restaurants, because people get irritable when they get hungry. And so they kind of snap at their wait staff sometimes. Be kind to them and tip them well. But this was not Jesus being irritable because he was hungry. This is Jesus not having a temper tantrum. It's Jesus seizing the moment, saying, this is a moment where I can reveal a principle to my disciples only, that if they can get it, it will change not only their lives, it will change their ministries. Both Matthew and Mark recorded this unusual and enlightening event. They were the only two that did. The other disciples didn't. And so this is a select moment for Jesus to teach his disciples one of the most vital, life-changing principles in the entire Word of God. The purpose is revealed in that last sentence, have faith in God. The second dimension of this principle is highlighted in the oft-overlooked phrase in verse 13, the time of figs was not yet. It's just not the right season. It was not the right season for figs. Yet Jesus cursed the fig tree for not bearing fruit. This obviously was not vengeance on an innocent tree by a frustrated Savior. It was Jesus wanting to teach an indelible, unforgettable lesson to his followers, one that I would like to share with you tonight. In order to get the full impact of this truth that Jesus is teaching, we have to unpack this a little bit more. It has a great deal to do with just Jesus and who Jesus was. The B.C. and A.D., the before Christ. I was younger, I used to think A.D. was after death, but that's not what it is. It's Anno Domini. That term is a medieval Latin phrase, and it means in the year of our Lord. It's often presented using our Lord instead of the Lord. It's taken from the full phrase, Anno Domini Nostra Jesu Christi, which translates in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. How the secular people in this world ever let that slip by, I don't know. But this should be one of the greatest testimonies to the secularist, to the secular world, to those that are not followers of Christ, to the effect of Jesus Christ on this world, that all time, every time you write a check, every time you look at a calendar, every time you punch a time clock, all time is distinguished by the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Friend, don't you believe for a moment this is a secular world. The truth is, this is God's world. And the unbeliever and the secularist, the atheist, they are just trespassing. This is still God's world. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus said this, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He's not talking about his kingdom there. He's talking about the world. He said this world, because of God's omnipotent power, because of God's infinite love, God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, just the same. The sun didn't just come up today on the church. It came up on every blasphemer, every agnostic, every secularist. We've been having tremendous rain this year. It's been for us, those of us that are connected with agriculture. It's been just the greatest summer we've ever seen. But God didn't just send rain on Pastor Brandon and myself and other born-again believing agriculturists. He sent rain on the whole Bear County, whole South Texas, and it has been a tremendous blessing. And rain in the Bible, because the Bible was written primarily in an agriculture setting, both the Old Testament and most of Jesus' parables and stories had to deal with agriculture, because that's where they lived. The Industrial Revolution was a long way off. There wasn't factories. It was all about agriculture. And so primarily that's the way the Bible is set forth. And so when it talks about rain, it's talking about the most blessed thing those people could have, the blessing of the Lord. And so he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And so this is the way many Christians, And probably most Christians live on an equal level, not below, not above. They just live on an equal level with unbelievers, even though they're saved. That's pretty much the only relationship they've got with God is salvation. They're just saved. They're not going to hell, but they live in a way the world lives, and they receive a very similar blessing. This is the mental and spiritual attitude that Jesus is exposing to his disciples, the lesson of the cursed fig tree. He said, I want you to come out and be separate, not just in holiness and godliness. I want you to come out and be separate in your faith. That's why he ends this story of cursing the fig tree. He said, have faith in God. And both writers that recorded this, they talk about that. And so Jesus Christ came to introduce a new faith to a new people that have come to a new and living way, a new kingdom. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come, Jesus said, that you might have life. And that life might be a new life. It's superior to the life of the unbeliever. Now, you're going to enjoy the same sun that they enjoy and the same rain they enjoy, but there is beyond that an abundance that they will never, ever perceive. And most Christians never, ever really buy into that. They're just happy they're not going to hell. And they're just very content to be like the rest of the world, to work a 8-to-5 job, and if they can get a little head and get a little bank account, a little savings, and they just say, well, man, that's the blessing of the Lord. That's all there is. But that's simply not true. Jesus said, think not that I've come, this is Matthew 5:17, think not I've come to destroy the law. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but I have come to fulfill, or the way I like to say it, I have come to fill full. I have come to just make it full. And so when Jesus Christ came, and when he died on the cross and was resurrected, he fulfilled all of the law. All of the law is now fulfilled in Christ. And so we don't keep the law by doing the law. We keep the law by accepting Christ and being obedient to Christ, and that fulfills the law. We're just as lawful as the Jew was, in fact, more lawful than the Jew that kept all of the dozens and hundreds of laws that were written in the Old Testament, because Christ fulfilled all of those. And when we received Christ, we didn't destroy the law. We fulfilled the law through Christ. Jesus fulfilled all the religious laws. But there's something that we don't understand. Jesus also fulfilled all the laws of nature. When the eunuch met Philip, and Philip was with him and preached Jesus to him in Acts, the Bible said that he was carried away. How could that be? He didn't have an airplane or a helicopter. He just simply went from one place to another. How was that possible? That's only possible in a super faith arena where somebody realized that Christ literally fulfilled not just the law of religion, but he fulfilled the law of nature itself. His birth, his ministry are called miraculous. And what Jesus is teaching here with this story is that I will take you to a place in faith that is literally supernatural. And you can get to a place to where you can reap where you have not sown, where you can expect things that are not normal, they're abnormal. You can expect things that are not natural, they're supernatural. What Jesus was saying to his disciples about this tree, he said, I'm showing you that you don't only have the ability to get figs in fig season. There's a place where I can take you that you can literally go into faith in unseasonable times and still reap when other people are not. Jesus answered and said, and verily I said, if you have faith and doubt not, when they questioned about why he cursed this tree, he said, I said, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but you shall also say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. The faith that Jesus is trying to share with his disciples can miraculously trump everything. Just because you don't like Trump, don't throw that word away. It's still a great word. Even if it is on a lot of buildings. The faith can miraculously trump seasonal laws. That's pretty exciting. In fact, it's very exciting. That means that limitations that limit the unbeliever don't limit me. That means that ceilings that on other people, that's as high as they're ever going to get. Oh, I break through the ceiling because I have unseasonable faith that Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything, making every good thing available to me. Oh, it's exciting when you get to this level of faith. When you talk about this kind of faith, Paul, just to jump ahead, Paul said in Romans 8:11, I love the verse, 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Did you know the Bible said the Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the dead? There's a verse that says that. There's another verse that says Jesus raised himself. There's another verse that said the Father raised him. You can't separate the Godhead. And when you get God on your side and you're on God's side, you can't separate the power of God. It's just all working together, whether it's through the Father, whether it's through the Son, or whether it's through the Holy Ghost. It's all working for you. But he said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That's the reason why every believer should be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The moment that you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same spirit that was in Christ that raised him from the grave now is inside of you. So if that same spirit is inside of you, that means a boss can't wreck your career. That means a politician can't stop your blessing. That means an ex-companion that you had before you came to Christ, it's now an ex-husband or ex-wife, that doesn't have any dimension over you at all, because the same spirit that was in Christ is now in you when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What about people that just believe, Pastor? No, I don't think it's the same thing. I don't believe it's the same thing. When you receive the Holy Ghost, what did Jesus say in Acts 1:8? After you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Not before. Not the moment that you accept Christ, but after you get the Holy Ghost, you have a power that the world certainly doesn't have, but also those people that are claiming Christianity that have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, they haven't got that power. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body, not your immortal body, not after you die and get your new body. He said your old nasty mortal body, your old body that needs deodorant, your old body that sags, your old body that you're just trying to make it look as good as it did 20 years ago. Brandon and I did a television program. It aired last week on RFD Worldwide. I think it's at 100 million homes or something. And I saw it yesterday, and I was a little disappointed. I just needed some makeup and a little surgery wouldn't have helped. I looked older than I remembered seeing myself on TV. I used to watch myself. I was on TV a lot for a while, so I'd see myself all the time. But now I go great lapses. And sometimes, I know it's probably just a goofy thing, but sometimes I look older than I did the last time I saw on TV. And it's probably just the devil and distorting. It's probably not true. But I saw my program yesterday. And so this mortal body. I'm dealing with this mortal body, not my immortal body. It doesn't appear what I shall be, what he shall, but I shall be like him. I'll be I'm going to have an immortal body. But in the meantime, between now and 8:30, I got to deal with this mortal body. He said, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. Friend, I'm going to tell you that things in another dimension that the secular world and the nominal Christian have no ideas available. Jesus said, I'm cursing the tree. I want you to watch this. I want you to understand this. By faith, you're going to realize that you can have figs 12 months a year. I just hate it when I go to Papado's. You ever go to Papado's? How many people like raw oysters on the half shell? Oh, they're just nasty good. Boy, you set that old nasty oyster on a cracker, and then you put that red, that horseradish and ketchup mix on there. Oh, pop that in your mouth. You talk about good. And not only is it good, it can make people around you at the table sick, and that's always enjoyable too. Oh, man, I can't stand that. Oh, it's just good. Tammy, let's just go eat some oysters. She's just shaking her head. You know, that's the first time I've been pastoring Tammy for years, and she's always doing this. She's shaking her head. No, I'm telling you, Tammy, they're good. They're good. But you go sometimes and you say, you got any oysters? And they say, no, they're not in season. To most Christians, the big things of God are out of season the majority of the time. They just can't get them. Let me explain to you. God's got a menu that don't change. God's got a menu that don't change. Sean was telling me last night, he loves smoothies. And him and Trish had a favorite smoothie that they got somewhere. I don't know where it was. And he said, they took it off the menu. You can't get it anymore. I thought he was going to cry because he can't get his smoothie. My friend, Brother Mike Tominelli, used to like to go to Chili's, but he said the problem with Chili's, every time they get something good, they change their menu, and that's no longer available. He said, I know they're not Mexicans. Their name is Chili. But he said they had the best enchiladas for a while, but he said they took them good enchiladas off the menu. And there's a whole lot of churches that just about the time you need something, they've taken it off the menu. That's no longer available. No, no, no. We don't offer healing. But my little baby is sick, but we don't offer healing anymore. We took that off the menu. But I ain't never needed it like I need it right now. Jesus is explaining to his disciples that I'm going to give you a menu that's 365 days a year. I don't care what season it is. You can have figs were a big deal in the Middle East. You can have figs anytime you want them. I'm telling you, there is a place in faith. And like I said, this ain't for everybody. Jesus didn't even share it with the multitude. He just shared it with a few of his disciples. He said, and you probably won't even get it. No need to go out and talk to the multitude. Hey, if you want to understand Jesus' ministry, read the Mark of the Beast. The Mark of the Beast verse. That's what I call it. The reason I call it that, it's John 6:66. Does anybody know what that says? And many of his disciples believed not and followed him no more. Jesus had a problem holding a crowd. His ministry was too revolutionary. His promises were too phenomenal. And he's got the same problem today. If you will preach certain things that appease people and make people comfortable, you can fill up about any building. But if you start presenting to people that Jesus Christ is offering to you figs out of season, he's offering to you healing out of season, he's offering to you the Holy Ghost out of season, he's offering to you miracles of all dimension, he's offering you prosperity out of season, Jesus is just trying to take you to a place of faith and said, I'm looking for a small group. I know everybody's not going to get it. He said, 9 of you get out of here. I'm fixing to raise this girl from the dead. And 9 of you disciples can't have it. I got 3 here I think can handle it. And he said, thousands of you go home because I'm getting ready to pour out the Holy Spirit. But I think there's 120. And he actually had 500. And before the Holy Ghost fell, 380 of them checked out. They looked at their watch and said, man, Peter's preaching too long. I think we'll get 380 got up. And when the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost, only 120 was left. It always diminishes. But I would just hope today, there's a few hundred people in this building tonight, but I would just hope there'd be like, 50. I'm kind of like Abraham, 50 righteous. He got down to 10. I'm just looking for a few people that can get the faith that I'm talking about. We don't even need everybody that comes to service A and service B, 9 and 11, all of them. We don't even need all of you tonight. Just a few of you get into this faith level, and it will turn this church upside down. It will turn our lives upside down. We won't have to spend a dime on advertising. When your mama gets healed from an incurable disease, there's just something about it. You can't keep it to yourself. Jesus used to do miracles and say, tell no man. And by the next morning, everybody in town knew it. There's just some things that Jesus does that you can't keep it to yourself. It's just so phenomenal. Jesus didn't mean for this fig thing to go abroad. He didn't mean for it to be on social media. It was just for a few disciples that they would go to a higher level of faith than the general follower. But when they saw that Jesus Christ cursed a fig tree because it didn't have figs and it wasn't the time of figs, they said, wow, what are you doing? And he said, I'm trying to show you that there is a power of God in faith. That it doesn't matter what time of day it is. It doesn't matter how late at night it is. It doesn't matter what dispensation it is. It doesn't matter what your genealogy is. It doesn't matter whether you're a Cyphernician, a Gentile, or whether you are a Jew. It just doesn't matter. When you get in faith, praise God, you can have it any time, any time. He said, that same spirit, Paul said, it shall quicken your mortal, make your mortal body alive. Well, mortal body is already alive. Paul is talking about making a mortal body spiritually alive. Making where you don't walk in the flesh, but you walk in faith. You walk in the Spirit of God. And you see things every day. Listened to a guy preach, and he was preaching on miracles, and he told the miracle. He said, these are miracles in my life. Number one, he found a ring that he had lost. That was his miracle. And number two was he had a car that they wanted to charge him thousands of dollars, and he got it fixed for $100. And I believe that's God doing that. But I thought, bless your heart, are those the best miracles that you've ever seen? Let me tell you about people that I've seen that was totally blind and God opened their eyes. Let me tell you about people that I have prayed for in the hospital that were, as the Bible said, good as dead. And all of a sudden when I prayed, their eyes opened and they'd already said they'll never check out. And by that next morning, they were out of that hospital back to a normal. I've seen dozens, hundreds of things like that, folks. I'm walking in faith, but I'm asking God, take me to another dimension. Not only do I need it, people need it. They just need to see people that are able to have figs when nobody else has figs. You can't imagine what a testimony it is when Wilma comes over early in the morning and you're sitting there eating fresh figs and it's not fig season. She said, where did you get those figs? Said, well, there was a tree over here, and it saw me coming, and it said, there's one of Jesus' followers. We better get some figs on it, or he'll curse us, and our roots will dry up, and we ain't going to be here no more. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there are things that ought to see you coming that produce fruit just because you're on the way. And they know who you are, and they know who you represent. Praise God! Woo! Shikasapa halalaba. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a little amazed right now because there's so many people on your feet, which is a good indicator you're getting what I'm talking about. And the devil told me, said, now they ain't no use you talking about that because it's going to be so far over their heads, they're not going to comprehend it. And there's a bunch of people that I'm hitting. There's a whole lot of people that are reciprocating that, and you're understanding what God is saying in this little message. God is saying, you are not controlled by the elements of this world. Your mortal body is made alive. It's made alive. You are not controlled by the five senses of your mortal body. You're not controlled by the senses and the season. Hallelujah. You know what season we're in now, don't you? This is COVID season. And just a lot of people have just quit because it's COVID season. But there's some of us that said, this is an ideal time for us to have a fig party. It's a time for us to manifest something that the rest of the world can't manifest because that faith, that same spirit that got Jesus out of the grave. Friend, I don't know about you. I didn't shake a preacher's hand. I didn't sign a card. When I got saved, I was changed. My sins rolled away. My mortal body was made alive. It was set on fire, praise God. I ain't been the same since. Hallelujah. And I'm not the same tonight. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. If you think God has given up on this world, you're wrong. He's just looking for some people that will say, we're not going to let the season of this world control us, but praise God, we're going to have unseasonable faith, and we're going to do things that nobody around us can do. You said, oh, I'd like to win my daddy to Jesus. Well, you're not going to do it with a scripture and a handshake. He's going to have to see something live in your mortal body. He's going to have to see, that ain't the little girl I bounced on my knee. She's changed. What happened to you, honey? I've been with Jesus, and I am a new creation, and I can have figs anytime I want them. I can do things that other people can't do because I am filled with the same spirit that was in Christ. Friend, I'm basically in my introduction. What's the chances I won't get through with this? Jesus said this. Paul talked about that same spirit that was in Christ. Jesus said this, he that believe on me as the scripture hath said. There's the kicker right there. There's a billion people that claim to be believers in Christ and another 2 or 3 billion that will nod at him once in a while and give him a wink. But there's not a whole big crowd that believe on him as the scripture hath said. Whoa. Jesus said, he that believeth on me as scripture, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the next verse says this, but this spake he of the Spirit. That's that same Spirit that Paul was talking about that raised Christ from the dead. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, now here's believing on Jesus as the scripture has said, John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. That's talking about believing on him as the scripture has said. Christ received the Spirit not by measure. It was immeasurable. That's the reason why Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, he'll have a pitcher. He'll have a cup. He'll have a tank. No, he said shall flow rivers of living water. He was saying it's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. Just like Christ received the immeasurable Spirit from the Father, when you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was not a composite. It was not a certain amount or a certain shape. It was immeasurable. And not only is it immeasurable, it flows continuously. You didn't receive the Holy Spirit one night and it stopped. Ever since that time when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's been flowing through you. It's continuously called living water. It's continuously fresh, praise God. And so God said, that's who you are. And he said, when you look at a tree and it doesn't have any figs on it, that's not the end. You can speak in faith and suddenly, in a non-season, unseasonable faith, things that are not happening for anybody else will happen to you. And this is the prophecy. Let me run through these real quick, just a few of them. I'm not going to try to finish. I'm going to quit in about 10 minutes. The prophecy of this generation is this. Behold, the days come. Well, I got news for you. The days are here. The days are here. This is not the worst days of the church. This is the most pregnant days of the church. Somebody said, well, the church is just not as active as it could be. Most 9-month pregnant women are not that active. They just waiting. The church is not as active as I'd like to see her, but she's bigger than I've ever seen her. I was sitting in a room with a one time with a woman that went to one of our first converts, Debbie. And I saw Debbie pregnant with 3 children, and Debbie would weigh about 150. And when she got pregnant, she weighed about 750. It seemed she got enormous. And I saw Debbie one time. I was in her home with her and her husband, and she was drinking a soda, and she had the pop bottle just sitting there. She's sitting down, just had it in front of her. And all of a sudden, that pop bottle flew across the room. I thought she'd thrown it at me. That baby kicked that pop bottle right out of her hand, and still in the womb, still in her belly. Oh, friend, we got a river in our belly, but we are not as active as we're going to be because we are big and waddly and just got pains and birth pangs, the Bible said. But God is about to birth something in the church, and it is a birth of faith like you have never seen. And so don't be too hard on the church yet. Because, praise God, we are about to give birth to something the world has never, ever seen before. And so this is the prophecy of this generation. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That is a confusing verse. If you're a farmer, you can't tell whether you're sowing or reaping or plowing or combining or harvesting. And that's what the prophecy is. There's coming a time when the church is going to become so prolific in faith that it won't matter what the season is. They can sow and reap in the same day. You're not going to have to pray for 30 days. You can pray in the morning, and by that afternoon, it'll happen. Praise God. He said it's going to be unseasonable faith. Hey, put your confidence in God. Don't think for a moment that God has failed, that this world is so evil that God struck out and he's just got you and me and a half a dozen more. Oh, no. He's not through yet. He's got a plowman coming. He's got a waterer coming. He's got a sower coming. He's got a reaper coming. And sometimes they'll all be the same person. They'll be sowing and watering and cultivating and reaping and sowing all in the same day because the seasons will become indistinguishable because there is so much faith that they just look up and say, it doesn't matter what the tree says. I say there are figs. It's fig time. No, it's not. You're wrong. No, I'm not. Because my body, my mortal body, has now received the immeasurable spirit of the living God. And guess what? I can call things that be not as though they were. That's one of my favorite verses. Calling those things that be not as they were, as though they were. Looking at an unsaved husband and saying, save, save, save. Looking at your sister Jean, save, 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 save. Calling those things that be not as though they were. All of my family sitting here in a row. Praise God. Some of you people ought to come, and you ought to sit in a pew that's about half empty just in case your husband decides to show up. Oh, I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen. I've seen women pray for their husbands and their husband just be obstinate against God. And while I was preaching, I'd see a guy come in and sit back and they'd look up at him. And when I got through preaching, they'd come to the altar and she'd be, "That's my husband. That's my husband. I've been praying for him." Some of you are not going to come to church alone much longer. Praise God. You're going to have a time of figs, and it doesn't matter what's going on in your husband, your wife, your kids' life. Something is about to happen because you have in you the same spirit that quickened the mortal body of Christ, and he came out of that grave, and now that same spirit is inside of you, and you can call those things that be not as though they were. So that's the prophecy to this generation. Here's the commandment to this generation. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Folks, we are the finishers. We're not the beginners. We are the finishers, praise God. We're the ones that get all the big publicity. When you have a relay race and they start and they hand that baton off time after time to four runners, praise God, that one that crosses that finish line, he's the one they run out and grab like he's done something. Well, he wasn't nothing by himself. He had three men before him. Abraham is before me. The Bible said that they looked at our day and rejoiced in it and envied us and said, "I wished I could be at Living Way in 2021 because they're the finishers." And he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And then Jesus said this. He said, "Say ye not, there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest." Who would say that? Well, the sower. The sower would say that. Said, "I've sowed seed. The normal harvest cycle is 4 months. In 4 months, I'm going to reap a great harvest." Jesus said, "Say not. Say not 4 months and then the harvest." You just stuck it in the ground. Jump up and down and say, "Praise God, this seed is miraculously going to multiply right before my eyes. It's not going to take 4 months. It's going to be immediate. Because I have unseasonable faith. I no longer have to deal with what everybody else deals with. I can just simply say, now, now faith, now faith, now faith." He said, "Say ye not there 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes." He said, "For look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Jesus is talking to somebody in faith right here in this building tonight, and he said, "This is the end of July," and you said, "Maybe a little bit later." He said, "I'm not talking about August. I'm still in July." Jesus is still in July. He hadn't moved off to August yet. He's still in July. And so, praise God, he said, "Your field is ready to harvest, and something big is going to happen in your life, and it's not even going to be in August. It's still going to be in July." Praise God. And you ought to say, "That's who I am. I grasped what Jesus was saying." The pattern for this generation, the pattern for this generation is this. Let me give you the pattern. "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then was first after the trouble in the water stepped in and was made whole of certain diseases. And a man had been there for 38 years waiting on his season." So many of you are waiting on your season. You're waiting on your season. I got to show you this to make it really. Let me show you this. "Thou madest them a little lower than the angels." Friend, we used to be lower than the angels. But if you will study Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's the story of man leapfrogging over the angels. Because None of the angels have the spirit that raised Christ from the dead. They just don't have it. And so although we might be mortal, we contain a spirit that the angels cannot have. And so they were waiting on the angels at that particular place in history. But Jesus came walking along, and there was a multitude of folks there, and a multitude of folks that were seasonal in their faith. They believed if they could be there at the right time, when you could see the water moving and troubled, you would know that the angel had stirred. And if you happened to be the first person that got into that water, then you were going to get your miracle. It all depended on angel season. And Jesus came to this one man, and he said, he probably went to others. There's no record that he did, but I suppose he did. And they just blew him off and said, no, we're waiting on the angel if you don't mind. You're just a man in dusty sandals, and we're waiting on an angel. But Jesus said to one man, been in there 38 years. Now, 38 seasons have passed him by. And he said, will you be made whole? And he said, well, I haven't so far, because I don't have no man to help me. When the water is troubled, I'm paralyzed, and I can't get in that pool, and it's every man for himself. And so, I can't do it. And Jesus said, rise up and follow me. Something happened in that man's brain. He realized he could have figs in the time where there was no figs. He said, wow, there's something about this man. Never a man spake like this man. Even the winds lay down like a puppy dog at his feet when he speaks. He realized that a greater than angel was here. Friend, I want to tell you that you have leapfrogged over angels. Angels covet your position. They'll never be what you are. You've been sanctified by the blood, and then you have been baptized with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and the angels can only drool and say, wow, how that must feel, how that must be. And this man had a brain aneurysm. I mean, it just hit him. He just felt pain, and suddenly he was in shock. He realized this 38 years of waiting is over. There is something happening in my brain. I'm having a transformation. I have a revelation. I know who this is. This is the long-awaited Messiah. Will thou be made whole? You say, yeah! Rise up and walk. I don't have to wait on seasons no more, for Jesus is here. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got the same spirit in me that was in Christ, and I don't have to wait around like other people for the general rain and say, well, it rains on everybody sooner or later. I can call my own weather. I can create my own climate. I can have my own orchard. I can have my own fruit. I can have my own harvest. I can have my own crop. And then the Bible said this in these Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 is where all this is actually laid out. It said, are not those ministering spirits, those angels, are they not ministers to the heirs of salvation? Ladies and gentlemen, if you can get to this level that Christ was trying to take his people to, his disciples to, on that day where he was sharing that fig story with them, that fig tree story, if you can get there, you literally have angels that are ministering spirits. One translation said they are errand runners for the saved. Errand runners for the saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not about normal. I'm not about natural. I am a mortal that has a quickening spirit inside of me. I can make money when nobody else can. I can be blessed when nobody else is. I can get rain when it's not raining nowhere else. I can have fig pudding any time I want it, praise God, because my faith is not in subject to the seasons and the elements and the environment of this world. That's the reason why you get so bent out of shape about who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It's not going to stop my flow. You can put a Democrat, you could put Bernie the Socialist in the White House. It ain't going to stop my flow. It ain't going to stop my flow. My flow is not from Washington, D.C. It's not even from B.C. It's from A.D. Everything has now been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and He's made it available to me. And so I call on Him, and I say, Lord, I want some figs. He said, yes, sir, you can have them. And there's people in this building right now that you're saved, but you've been waiting too long. You need to run to this altar tonight and say, in the name of Jesus, I get the story, Christ. I get the fig tree story. And praise God, I'm moving to a new place, to where I'm not going to be like my sister or my cousin or my brother or sister in the pew. I'm not going to be like my people I work with. I'm going to realize that I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I can call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.